Good morning, members. The Choice and Innovation Subcommittee will now come to order. Misty, please call the roll.
Chair Tuck?
Here.
Vice Chair Coster?
Here.
Ranking Member Valdez?
Good morning, present.
Representative Altman?
Here.
Representative Amnesty?
Here.
Representative Baker?
Here.
Representative Bankson?
Here.
Representative Basabi?
Here.
Representative Chambliss? Representative Dunkley? Representative Garcia?
Present.
Representative McLean?
Here.
Representative Nixon? Representative Persons Mullica?
Here.
Representative Porras?
Here.
Representative Roach?
Present.
Representative Stark?
Here.
Representative Waldron?
Here.
Thank you, members. By your presence, we have a quorum. Please remember to silence all electronic devices. Be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee and the presenters, and make sure your microphones are on after you've been recognized. Members, we have three bills on the agenda this morning. First up will be proposed committee substitute for HB 379 relating to technology in K-12 public schools. Representative Yeager, you're recognized to present your bill.
Good morning, and thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member, and our great committee staff. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to present PCS House Bill 379 this morning. According to Common Sense Media, by the age of 12, 69% of kids own a smartphone, and 95% of teenagers will access social media. This rise in social media use has shown an increase in cyberbullying, as well as impacts on mental health among kids. PCS House Bill 379 will restrict access to social media websites through school district networks and or district-owned devices. It will prohibit the use of the TikTok platform on district-owned devices or as a platform to communicate any school-related activity. It will also give teachers the authority to designate a specific area for cell phones to be placed during instructional time in their classroom and prohibit the use of cell phones during instructional time. Lastly, it will educate 6th through 12th graders on the risk and dangers of social media on topics such as cyberbullying, predatory behavior, and human trafficking. Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Yeager. Members, are there questions on Representative Yeager's first bill? Representative Roach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I may have missed this at some point, but when you say that it restricts access to social media sites, is that for devices owned by these students or also for personnel, faculty, administrative staff at these schools as well? Is that for everyone in the school district or just students?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Rep, for the question. So what it will do is firewall the network so you can't access any social media sites through the network or through a school-owned or district-owned device. If a child has their own cell phone with their own cell plan cellular service, they can access through there, but they can't go through the school network.
One follow-up, Chair?
Follow-up?
Yep. So I just want to clarify, but the teachers or the computers that the superintendent of schools is using, that the teachers are using, that the principals are using, that would also apply to them as well?
If it's a school or district-owned device, correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Additional questions? Representative Nixon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for coming into my office to speak with me yesterday. Just want to make sure, realize that you said no more TikTok in regards to the school system being able to communicate outwardly with parents and things like that. Are they still able to communicate with in other social media arenas around different things of importance?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Rep, for the question. Yes, so TikTok will be blocked for any communication for security purposes, but yes, any other social media site they're currently using, they can use to promote their activities.
Additional questions, members? Seeing none, there are no amendments. We'll now move into public testimony. Are there appearance cards? First up, Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair and representatives. Smart Justice very much appreciates Representative Yeager, you putting this bill forward. Currently, 35 to 46% of all teenagers are on a platform almost constantly. Just 4 years ago, that was only 24%. Social media is a validation trigger over sexual identity, body shape, and other issues, disorders, thinking. Interestingly, FSU recently published in the International Journal of Eating Disorders, they had 20 women browse Facebook for 20 minutes. And then they had 20 women browse any other social platform on the web. And after 20 minutes looking at Facebook, quote, the women experienced greater body dissatisfaction than those who spent 20 minutes on the web. Social media doesn't cause low esteem, but it exacerbates it. TikTok is a significant danger to our kids. I had the privilege of being the chairman of the board of Tallahassee Classical School. It's a public charter school here in Tallahassee. We use Hillsdale curriculum. We do not allow any of our students to bring a cell phone to campus. And our kids don't, our scholars are not allowed to use a computer until they get in the sixth grade. Doing this is, so we've already established restrictive rules like Representative Yeager is asking for. This is very important, and we encourage you to vote up on this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for being here. And we also have Parker Powell with CFO Jimmy Patronis' office waving in support. Members, we're in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Representative Waldron, you're recognized.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate you stopping by my office yesterday. I just wanted to say I support this bill. I think it's kind of an uphill battle that a lot of parents are facing right now with social media impacts, and this is going to help the parents a bit, I think. So I just wanted to say I support it. So thank you for bringing this to us.
Ranking Member Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and good morning, Representative Yeager. I too am in support of this bill. I believe that we have a little bit more research to do on it as well, because many students may use their cell phone as part of the instruction of the curriculum in classroom sometimes. So it's a little bit, I'm concerned about the fact that they'll still, of course, have their own plan and be able to access social media. By the same token, I hear the stigma on girls. I wonder what the stigma is on boys. Because we always seem to think about, let's talk about the girls and how they're body shamed or how this and that. I wonder how it affects boys. I'm in support of this bill. I'm looking to see what the outcomes will be for the school districts. I hope that the intent of what we're trying to do is really gets to the core once it gets implemented, because firewalls can, you know, you can go around firewalls, right? So I'm hoping that the intent of the bill really does what it's supposed to do. And if we need to tweak it, you know, next session, then let's do it. But I'm really excited to support your bill today. Thank you.
Vice Chair Koster, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the bill. I think, you know, there's a lot of focus on the social media piece of it, but the piece of it that I really like is that we're giving teachers an ability to make these students put their phones away altogether. I don't disagree that there's a place in our school systems for technology. 100%, we need it. My kids do most of their homework on technology in second and fourth grade. So I get that. But there's also a time and place for personal interaction, and I've been hearing from a lot of school teachers that one of the issues in their classrooms is that they can't make their kids put their phones away, and then their kids are on the phones all day. And I don't know about any of you, but I know that my phone distracts me pretty frequently, and so I imagine it does the same for our students. And so I really like that piece of it that supports our teachers in an initiative to just make the kids put the phones away for a little while. So thank you for the bill. I look forward to supporting it.
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for bringing the good bill. I think this is a great bill and a great start. And I just have one suggestion that I would offer. In reading the staff analysis and then reading the actual statutory language of the bill, it does not seem as clear as I would like it to be that this is designed to capture staff as well. If you look at the language particularly on lines 58 going down, it's replete with references to only as it would apply to minors and prohibiting devices that address access by minors. And the staff analysis refers to use by students multiple times. I would love to see a little bit of clarity of language to ensure that not only is this applied to students, but we also don't want teachers sitting around accessing social media sites on school-owned computers as well. If there was a way to specify that in the language, I think it would clarify that, at least for me, a little bit, unless I'm just not seeing the part that specifies that instructional personnel, teachers, administrators, also are prohibited from accessing these sites on the district-owned computer servers. That's my only comment. Thank you.
Additional debate, members? Representative Dunkley, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for bringing this bill, Rep. Yeager. I know you came to my office as well and we spoke, and I'm sorry I did not respond to you last night, but when I checked in with my parents, they're appreciative of this control for their kids in the classroom, because truly it is a problem not just in the classroom but at home as well. And so for them to be focused on learning while they're in school, this is really a tremendous opportunity for us to bring things back to the center of what it is, education for them, instructional periods that they're supposed to be in the classroom. And so thank you very much for bringing this bill, and I will be supporting your bill today.
Additional debate. All righty, Representative Yeager, you're recognized to close. And sounds good, having waves closed. Misty, please call the roll.
Representative Zaltman?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Bakeson?
Yes.
Basabi?
Yes.
Chambliss? Dunkley?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Nixon? Yes. Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Forrest?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Chair Tuck?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show PCS for HB 379 reported favorably. Congratulations. Next up, we have HB 259 by Representative Brackett relating to interscholastic extracurricular activities. Representative Brackett, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Committee. Good morning. HB 259 provides for a mechanism for a charter school student to enter into an agreement with a private school to participate in interscholastic extracurricular activities when those activities are not offered by the school they're at. That is my bill, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Brackett, having explained the bill, are there questions? Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you tell me what charter school students can currently do right now if they are unable, if they don't have any sports in their school?
Currently under Florida statute, charter schools can only go to the school they are zoned for in their district.
Follow up?
So why the change if their school in their district has after school activities?
Well, number one, it lines up with what homeschoolers can do. Homeschoolers have the option of going to the school in their district or any other private school that will allow them to go. In addition to that, I think it falls in line with parental rights. The student is at a charter school because the parents decided to send them there. They may have an issue with the local public school, traditional public school for that matter, but it just gives them further option. But more importantly, it lines up with what's already in the statute for homeschoolers also.
Follow up.
Is a charter school considered a public school though?
It is a form of public school, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Follow-up.
Will this bill allow public school students that do not have extracurricular activities or sports to be able to access private schools as well?
As you know, Representative, when we spoke yesterday, this bill does not cover that. I went back to staff after our conversation and talked to them about that possibility. Currently, in the legislation that's out there, that is not addressed. But I'm willing to sit down and talk further about that. I've already spoken to another Representative Hawkins, who's rolled part of this bill into the FHSA bill. Spoke to him last night about your concern.
and he's willing to talk about it also, so we can talk about that further about looking to changing that.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are you concerned that private schools can, this will just cause private schools to potentially do more illegal recruitment as opposed to taking care of the child holistically, making sure that they have a quality education if they're having issues, if the student is having issues with public schools or whatever? I guess what I'm trying to say is what is this trying to solve? Why can't that child just go to that private school as opposed to just going to the after school program?
Thank you for the question. It's from my experience with dealing with this issue, we're talking about very small private schools. We're not talking about a Jacksonville Bulls or a St. Thomas Aquinas. We're talking about very small private schools. Those schools have plenty of students that are there to play athletics, so forth. The schools we're talking about have small, some of them 8-man football, girls, men's and women's basketball from that standpoint, and they don't have enough students to do it. And so this allows them to be able to field teams. When you talk about the larger schools, again, St. Thomas, Miami, Columbus, those type of private schools, most of those are not going to probably allow outsiders to come in and play because they don't want to take those positions from the people that are paying tuition to be there. And also, when you get back to the other point you made, a lot of these parents can't afford the tuition to send the private school to play there. And so this is an opportunity to play sports when they don't have it available to them at the charter school they're at.
Good. Representative Dunkley, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to me about your bill as well. I just had a question, if you could educate me a little bit. So regarding the cost factor, is there a cost factor for if a student wants to participate in a district school from a charter school to participate in that sport? Is there a cost factor?
According to the House analysis, according to the analysis, there is no financial impact whatsoever. I don't know. I guess it'd be dependent upon each student and the charter school agreement that they come into, whether they want them to pay a certain fee. I know a lot of public schools have students involved in sports pay fees of some kind. There could be that way, but it'd be probably no different than a regular public school system would be.
And if that's the case, the student from the charter school would pick up the cost of participating?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, thank you. That was my question.
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Brackett, for this good bill. You know, so many times when these members are presenting bills, it's their personal stories that kind of move the committee. And I was wondering if you could share with us any of your athletic achievements when you were in school. Perhaps you scored the three-pointer before the buzzer or through the game-winning touchdown, or maybe you're a chess club type of guy, but I'd love to hear about it if you're willing to share with the committee.
I was a high school athlete, actually a college athlete. I'm not sure how germane this is to the bill, but I will tell you my story, Representative Roach. I was fortunate enough to kick a couple of winning field goals in my career. I was a kicker, place kicker for high school and in college.
Additional questions, members? Representative Altman, you're recognized.
What was your longest field goal?
53 yards.
Wow. Could you have a follow-up? Do you know of any field goal kickers in high school that this bill would affect?
I don't know of any offhand. I'm sorry. I don't know of any offhand, I just, I still coach kicking at some local high schools in my spare time, which I don't have much of these days.
That's great. I'm sorry, one more.
Follow up.
You kick right-footed or left-footed?
Right-footed, soccer style.
Great.
Additional questions about athletic achievements. Representative Chambliss, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm nervous to ask you about athletic achievements. You might embarrass me. I did want to ask a hypothetical question just, to make sure that I'm clear. Given a real world example, students who are going to school, in a at a charter school would also be able to play sports at a public school based on this bill. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Follow up. Representative McLean, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill forward. I have a question. So most kickers that I've seen always have some kind of ritual that they go through. And so I'm trying to find out, you know, some, you know, did you carry a rabbit's foot in your pocket? Or, like, what was your, you know, how did you get rid of the yips before you kicked the 53-yarder or whatever it was? Because that could help us here in the Florida House.
You're recognized.
Thank you for that question. The same way I get rid of them here at this podium, I isolate myself for a long period of time before I show up.
Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep, would you be willing to, at the next committee stop, add an amendment that would open this up to traditional public schools to be able to go to have their children try out at private schools as well?
As we spoke yesterday, I would be able to sit down and talk to you about that, yes.
Representative Chambliss, did you have a follow-up?
Just wondering, because you had all these game-winning field goals, did you have a particular celebration that you used when you, was there, like did you dance, like, you know, primetime dances? Did you dance? Can you dance? I'm just wondering.
You recognize?
I don't know that I can dance, Rep, but to answer your question, no, I didn't. Kickers are typically very to themselves and very quiet, and when the team's on this side of the field down the sideline, we're usually on this side over here. We don't get caught up in the game.
Additional questions and or sports advice? Seeing none, we do have one amendment. Representative Brackett, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 168685.
Thank you, Chair. With all this talk of kicking, I almost forgot about the amendment. The amendment also authorizes Florida virtual school students to participate in the same way. That is the amendment.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions? Seeing none, public testimony? Ranking Member Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you. For the virtual school students, would you be able to teach them virtually how to kick a football?
You're recognized.
That would be tough virtually. We could try it.
Representative Nixon, did you have a question? Okay. Vice Chair Coster, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Are you any good at softball? Because I hear there's a game next week. I'm just curious if that's...
Recognized.
I'm not really good at kicking anymore at my age. I can teach it, but at 60, it's kind of hard to do the same things we did when we were 19 and 20 years old.
Additional questions on the amendment? Seeing none, are there any public testimony? Seeing none, debate. Members, we're in debate on the amendment. Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to support the bill today, but I think that parents that send their children to public schools, traditional public schools, do in fact make a choice, right? But they would also oftentimes love for their students to participate in after-school activities. And if we are allowing charter schools to have access to private schools, I think we should open that choice up to those who sent their kids to traditional public schools as well. As Rep. Broach said, people sometimes bring bills or they do things as it relates to this process in regards to their real world experiences. My daughter attends Darnell Cookman School for the Medical Arts in Jacksonville. She's in the 10th grade. They don't have all the sports in that high school. And so she would love to play volleyball for possibly a private school that has more resources than some other schools. Right now, though, she usually just plays for staying college prep. So I just, you know, we're just asking for parity and equity across the board. So what's good for charter schools should be good for traditional public schools as well.
Additional debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Brackett recognized to close.
Waive close on the amendment.
All right, thank you. And if you're in favor of adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Opposed? Show that amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Members were in public testimony. Are there appearance cards? Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waves in support. And Ryan Kennedy, Florida Citizens Alliance, waves in support. Seeing no more public testimony, members were in debate on the bill. Any members wishing to debate? Representative Altman, you're recognized.
Madam Chairman, I support this bill. I think we should get it right through the goalpost and have it move on.
Seeing no more debate, Representative Brackett, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll waive close.
Sounds good. Having waived close, Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabi?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Nixon? Yes. Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Forrest?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Chair Tuck?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show HB 259 reported favorably. Congratulations. All right. Last up, I hope you're ready. HB 733 by Representative Temple relating to middle and high school start times. Representative Temple, you're recognized.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member, and the committee members. I'm here to present HB 733. It's middle school and high school start times. About a month ago, if you'll remember, in this committee, we heard from experts relating to the importance of proper sleep for our students, in particular, our teenage students. It was stated for improved physical and mental health, as well as academic and quality of life, that they needed 8 to 9 hours of sleep. It was also discussed that their brains have difficulty shutting off before 11 p.m. And so evidence was also shared about how the changing of start times or having later start time improved their academics. 48% of public high schools and 26% of public charter high schools start before 7:30 in the morning. HB 733 will require middle schools to start no earlier than 8 o'clock and high schools no earlier than 8:30. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions?
No question, ma'am. Oh,
Representative Altman, you're recognized.
So I'm curious how the change of date from daylight savings time to Eastern Standard Time would affect this bill, because I don't think you addressed that issue. And do you know the dates of the daylight savings time change and the Eastern Standard Time change? And could you give us a brief summary how that affects the sleeping patterns of children?
Absolutely. I don't have the dates. I do know the date is coming up. I believe, is it next weekend for, what is it, falling back? Or no, spring forward. And so the effects on students, I imagine, is the same for adults, is that we always have that adjustment period in the first couple of weeks. But eventually our inner clocks kind of adjust and used to it.
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for this great bill. So I noticed you just made a comment that, you believe that sort of the same effect is on adults as is children. And I noticed that in your bill, as children age, the start time gets later and later to 8:30. And I was wondering, in case the speaker might be watching this committee meeting, if you could comment on the 8 o'clock start time we had today, effect on legislators, and whether you would endorse the idea of starting these committees at a later time.
I am definitely okay with a 9 o'clock start time.
Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hi, Rep. I have a few questions. Can you explain what's going to happen as it relates to transportation if this bill passes?
Recognized.
So what I would imagine is educators are innovative, and I'm an educator myself, and we like to steal other great ideas from surrounding either districts or classrooms. And so many of the schools, more than half of the schools, start after 8 o'clock. So there are different start times. So they could look at the transportation schedules of other similar like districts and adapt their schedules or their transportation and to model after others that already have later start times. For example, my district, high schools start at, I believe, 8:55. And so they would be able to look, if it's a small district like ours, they would be able to look to see how they have their transportation set up and be able to adjust their schedule. Also, to add, they have 3 years. This bill would not go in effect or require to go in effect until July of 2026. So it gives them time to make those adjustments, to notify parents at all levels and the community members as well.
Follow up.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Have you spoken with all the districts as it relates to this bill?
I have not. I have talked to several superintendents, teachers, but as a whole, I have not spoken to all 67 districts.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Have you spoken or taken into consideration a parent who may have a child that is in daycare, elementary school, middle school, and high school, and how they, and if it's a magnet program and there may not be access to buses, and how they will, in fact, get their children to school on time?
Well, that's one of the challenges of having children. Whether your school starts at 7:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, or it starts at 9 o'clock, and so we'd have to adjust and make changes. There are typically areas, whether it be youth centers or daycares, in smaller districts. I know schools have opened up an early room to be able to offer access to that. It's one of the things we sign up as parents.
Follow up.
Are you familiar with the cost associated with daycares and youth centers and extended day programs and how that can negatively impact household funds?
I think that may be a little bit outside the scope of the bill. Do you want to
He brought it up.
Rephrase.
He brought it up. I was just referring to that's it, Madam Chair.
Additional questions, members? Representative Chambliss, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Piggybacking off of what Rep. Nixon said, but just asking in a slightly different way, would you be open to actually putting language in the bill that allows schools to open up earlier and allow students to, for example, come to campus earlier until the start time? Are you open to that conversation? Because that's a big concern of mine for two reasons. One, a lot of times parents are trying to get to work at 7, right? And many times in our district, a lot of parents take their kids to school compared to having them, you know, go on the bus. And so I'd be concerned that if a parent currently has a job that has them there at 7 and they currently have a schedule, that a change like this and their job didn't change might necessarily interfere with their morning routine. But if the schools opened up earlier and allowed them to be there earlier until the start time, I think that will help settle that concern. Would you be open to that conversation?
Recognized.
Absolutely would be open to it. I know that I believe it's already in place that school districts have that authority to go ahead and open up. So, for example, one of the schools does have an early room that is in a little bit more of a rural area that doesn't have a location to be able to house students early. And the argument or the conversation or debate, whether it's in the morning time and the parents getting students to school or the afternoon time when they come home, you know, it's always that debate of, you know, where does that fall? And would be open to that conversation. But I believe to answer the first part, school districts already have that ability if they choose to open up early.
Additional questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. We're moving into public testimony. Are there appearance cards? We do have one, Dr. Brandon Say with the Florida Chapter of American Academy of Pediatrics. You're recognized.
Thank you very much. And hold on just one second, let me pull up my notes here. Yes, I am here to speak on behalf of the Florida Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. I'm also new here in Tallahassee, but I'm a pediatric sleep specialist who just opened up a practice here in Tallahassee. So this bill is something that's very kind of near and dear to me. I was speaking to some of the Georgia legislators about it last year when I was based in Atlanta. But I would like to thank Representative Temple for sponsoring this bill. This is something that the American Academy of Pediatrics has had recommendations on since about 2014. We know that schools starting before, basically was focused more mainly on high schools, but starting at 8:30 in the morning definitely afforded them the ability to get the appropriate amount of sleep that Representative Temple was already speaking about. Actually, a lot of the points I was going to cover he's already kind of mentioned. I would like to mention that like previous research did show that not only was there better scholastic performance for kids when they were getting a lower later school start time, it actually improved their amount of sleep time that they get, which is the main point of being able to get that 8 to 9-ish hours of sleep that we're looking for in teenagers. And we actually showed there was decreased tardiness, decreased missing of school days. And then more importantly, I think as well, we saw that there was actually a decrease in the number of car crashes involving teen drivers between 16 to 18 by about 70% with that shift in school start times as well. So not only the school performance, but also public safety would be a big concern, which we could make some big changes on with this bill. And then as he said as well, about 48% of the Florida public high schools start before 7:30 in the morning. I talked to my MA who works with my clinic, who went to high school in Miami, and she was telling me just even a few years ago that a lot of the public high schools were starting at 7:30 in the morning, which definitely does not afford the students the ability to get that 8 to 9 hours of sleep that they're needing to get, because there is that biological delay in melatonin onset, which helps cue us to get into sleep. It is very hard before 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. for teenagers. There is that shift. We don't know why it happens biologically. Maybe it came from when, we used to have somebody take the first night watch a few hundred years ago. But we do see that that happens in teenagers, so that's something that's important for us to take into consideration for them to get that appropriate amount of sleep time. And again, I'd like to thank you guys for your attention. Please consider the Florida chapter of the AAP and myself as a resource for any information you guys might need about the science or just kind of the information behind this bill. And again, thanks to Representative Temple for presenting it.
Thank you for being here. Are you available for questions?
Yes, please.
Ranking Member Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair Tuck, and thank you for coming to our committee this morning and talking with us about this very important topic. I wonder what your research has shown in elementary school kids in comparison.
In elementary school kids, we do see that they are able to get to sleep a little bit earlier. They do have a longer sleep time that they need, but they are able to get to sleep, usually around 7:30, 8 o'clock, as opposed to the 10 to 11 o'clock that it would usually take for teenagers. So they are still able to get the appropriate amount of sleep with a school start time a little bit earlier for the elementary school kids. And I know that's a big issue. You guys are mentioning the buses and those sort of things as well. There is that adjustment that can be made that the younger kids, the elementary school kids, are more able to wake up and get that appropriate amount of sleep with a little bit of an earlier school start time.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being here.
Not a problem at all.
Members, we are in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do appreciate your bill. I understand. I have a 15 and a 14-year-old in the house, and it is a struggle to get them to sleep. Their bedtime is 9:30 in my house. but I also just think that more needs to be done as it relates to the transportation issue. I have a child in daycare, elementary, middle school, high school. It's going to be tough. Yes, that is a choice I made, and that's the cost of being a parent. But I also work. My husband also works. And we should be in the business of ensuring that we are making helping these parents and making their lives easier so that they can raise productive citizens, right? And it shouldn't be at the detriment of their pocketbooks. After school, before care, all of that costs money. It's like $80 in the morning per child and an additional $100 in the evenings per child a month that costs, like I'm telling you from experience. And so I would love it if I'm not going to be up on the bill right now. I want to have more conversations with you about it. But again, like transportation is a major issue that working families have to deal with. I'm not a millionaire like some of my colleagues say they are in committees and things like that. But it is something that is going to potentially hurt our parents if we're not able to get it right. And so right now the transportation is a major issue across the state. And parents are having to take their kids. And so that's just something that we really need to be mindful of when we're passing legislation like this. Thank you.
Representative Dunkley, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for bringing this bill, Rep. Temple. Where was this bill when I had to take my daughter and get up at 4 a.m. in the morning to make sure she gets to that magnet school to catch that 5 a.m. bus? Thank you. But anyways, I wanted to say I touched base, you know, we were communicating late last night because I was touching base in my community. And the teachers that I kind of touched base with, they're grateful to be going in a little bit later. It's not about them, but also they also agree that students could benefit from the later start times. And I checked in with parents too. I mean, while some of them were hardcore on saying, are we preparing them for a work world by having them get up a little bit later? You know, they were still thinking, what's best for the student at this time? And I did pose that question to you, and thank you for answering me. So today I'm going to support your bill based on what I've gotten from my constituents in this bill. Thank you.
Representative Baker, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative, thank you for bringing this good bill. You know, I'm really happy that we're focusing on the science and we're using that to determine what are the best school start times. And just from my personal experience, remembering high school, I mean, I was in activities for hours after high school. Then I was in the dance studio in the evening. Sometimes I wouldn't get home until 9 or 10 o'clock, and then I was doing homework. And I would have to wake up at 5 a.m. to get to school. I think our school, high school, did start at 7:20. Or 7:30, and you know, as a girl in a high school, you need a couple hours to get ready. So I think this is a great idea. I'm surprised we haven't done it sooner. So thank you so much for bringing this bill.
Additional debate, members? Additional debate? Seeing none, Representative Temple, you're recognized to close.
All right, thank you. I look forward to working with each of you on your concerns. I think about the priorities. What is the focus? What, as an educator, what are we there to do? And it's the academics, it's the training and getting them ready to be productive citizens and what is the best way to do that to prepare them for a lifelong success. And adjusting that start time would definitely have a positive impact. Will it cause some challenges? Yes, and we can work through those. And hopefully you each live in a district that would be mindful of that and find ways to be proactive and helpful in that process. But I look forward to having further discussion. And I appreciate the opportunity this morning.
Representative Temple, having closed on the bill, Misty, please call the roll.
Representative Zaltman?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabi?
Yes.
Chambliss? Yes. Dunkley?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Nixon? Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Chair Tuck?
Yes. Members, by your vote, HB 733 is reported favorably. Congratulations. Alrighty, well, that concludes the committee agenda for today, and everybody still has time to take a nap before their next committee. So with that, Vice Chair Coster moves we rise without objection, meeting adjourned.